I think it's very difficult for hospital bosses all over the country. As you said, the what we found out at the end of last week was that the deficit for the first 3 months of this financial year is actually larger than the deficit that was built up during the course of the whole of the previous 12 months. So I think with the winter months approaching, hospital bosses will be facing some very, very difficult choices. Do they try and balance the books, or can they continue to provide safe care? And I'm not sure you can actually do both at the moment. So this is a problem that's accelerating as well. You talked about the fact that we could be faced with a £2 billion deficit for the NHS at the end of this financial year. I think it could even be worse than that, to be honest. And so I think that Jeremy Hunt, the Shadow Secretary of State for Health, needs to get his head out of the sand and come up with an urgent plan for fixing the problems that the NHS is currently facing.
Would you say that these trusts should continue to overspend because care is actually more important than meeting their budgets?
Well, I think that the priority is always patient safety, but what the government needs to do is actually adequately fund both the NHS and the elderly care system in this country, so that those hospital bosses aren't faced with that dreadful choice that I've just spoken about.
There's some reports last week, I think, that the government lent on regulators like Monitor to keep this report away from party conference season. So when they were promenading on the stage, they weren't going to be asked about this huge deficit. Do you feel there's any truth in that claim?
Well, I think we heard reports prior to Tory party conference that the figures were actually ready to be published by both Monitor, who keep an eye on these foundation trusts, and an organisation called the Trust Development Authority. And I think it's utterly shameful that Jeremy Hunt, the Health Secretary, who says that transparency is key in the NHS, you know, would allow a situation to develop where reports aren't being published when they're ready because, you know, we've got Tory party conference the next week. Now, you know, this was reported in the papers. I looked at the Monitor board report, which had a date of, I think, the 30th of September, which was well in advance of Tory party conference. Board reports are always normally published, you know, on the days that the date appears on them. And so, you know, I think Jeremy Hunt has some very serious questions to answer as to why we only found out on Friday this was the scale of the problem.
And what would you spend? Are you going to? I mean, the Tories obviously committed to £8 billion. The black hole in the NHS is could be as high as £30 billion. As we're seeing today, actually, it could be almost no number. As the Labour Party, would you be committed to changing the shape of the NHS as well as seeking to fund it? Or do you just think the responsibility of the government is just to fund come what may?
Well, I think that what is crucial now is that some funding is urgently injected into the NHS to get us through the winter months. The Conservatives have made these grand promises, but none of the money has actually materialised as yet. It's no good the money coming in 5 years' time in 2020. The NHS needs the money now. But the wider question you ask is a very important one. And actually, there are things that need to change in the way we deliver NHS services in order to offer better value for money to the taxpayer. So, for example, the report that was published last week talked about the huge reliance of hospitals on expensive agency staff. One of the reasons for this was that we're not training enough nurses in this country. In the early years of the last parliament, the government cut the nurse training places. If they'd kept it at the level that the previous Labour government had, we would have had an extra 8,000 nurses trained. And so we can't be spending £1 billion a year on agency nursing staff when money is tight. The other thing that the government needs to do is understand the connection between adequately funding social care, particularly for the elderly in this country, and the knock-on impact that has on NHS finances. We've looked at some figures in the last couple of days which show that the number of people who are having to stay in hospital when their treatment has finished and they're well enough to go home, that there's been a 63% increase in 5 years of the people who are having to remain in hospital when they are well enough to go home. And that's because there isn't there aren't care packages in place for those people, or there aren't places in residential or nursing homes for them to go to. So if you don't properly fund local authorities and councils to provide care, you're simply, causing problems in the NHS.
Pushing it up
those cuts to social care really are cuts to the NHS.
Let's talk more broadly now about the sort of political situation there. The Tory conference last week was marked by violent protests with journalists and activists being spat at and threatened. A Guardian journalist, Zoe Williams, said she could understand the anger that led to that sort of behaviour. Can you understand the anger that leads to people being abused and spat at?
I don't think there is any excuse for people being abused or people being spat at. What I do understand, though, is the huge anger that exists when you've got a Prime Minister that stands up on stage and says that he's committed to tackling poverty, when the previous week he is pushing through changes in Parliament which will have a really devastating impact on people's tax credits, which are one of the things that prevents people from slipping into poverty. And so I think at Tory party conference last week we saw huge hypocrisy from people such as the Prime Minister claiming that they stand for one thing and then doing something completely different.
John McDonnell, the Shadow Chancellor, came out yesterday, praised the woman in 2011 for spitting in her employer's tea. It's that form of, we're not taking it anymore, we're going to give it back. It builds up a climate of dissent. So your Shadow Chancellor thinks that spitting is a good way of showing political disagreement?
Well, it's something that I would never, ever condone anyone should do, and I've certainly never ever done it myself. So, as for what John may or may not have said, I'm afraid I haven't caught up on exactly all the things that all of my colleagues in the Shadow Cabinet have said in the last couple of decades. But I know John well, and he's not somebody who advocates that sort of thing.
Do you think he was? Do you think John McDonnell was right for his close connections with Sinn Féin and the Republican movement? He received a special award for his unfailing political and personal support, which was presented to him by an IRA bomber. Are you concerned about that part of John McDonnell's background?
Well, I watched John McDonnell on Question Time a couple of weeks ago on a Thursday evening when he apologised for any offence that anything that, what he has said in the past may have caused.
It's a bit weak, though, for someone who is supporting people who lent to people being blown up, though.
Well, I thought John's... I don't know, did you see the apology?
Yeah, I did. I did. I saw the near apology.
You call it a near apology?
Yeah, it was a sort of an apology for any offence that may have been caused. And actually, he praised himself for bringing people to the peace table at the same time.
Well, I think that what we've learned over the last few decades is that when people are brought together to talk about how we find solutions to these very, very difficult problems, that is when we bring peace about. And I actually personally felt that John's apology was quite heartfelt.
Okay, last question, because it's around all over the place. Jeremy Corbyn, of course, did not attend the Privy Council meeting. He did not crook the knee before the Queen that he doesn't agree with because he was in a pub in Scotland. Does that bother you at all that you have a Republican leader who doesn't want to take his Privy Council responsibilities seriously?
Well, I think that also, I think I'm right in saying that David Cameron didn't attend.
I think that's right. That is definitely right.
The first occasion on which he could have done. So I think this may all be getting blown slightly out of proportion, to be honest.
Heidi Alexander, thank you very much indeed, Shadow Health Secretary there.